moths. You know what the butterflies are? You know, you get the butterfly, or if you're playing in the band, or if you're being a pioneer like Melinda and leading worship, there's always those butterflies. And when you're doing something like what I'm doing today, the butterflies are like tenfold. But I know the Spirit's going to get me through this. I want to thank Reggie and Glenn and Mandy and Diane. And seemed like it was somebody else. But anyway, thank you for doing what you did this morning. Thank you, Melinda, for being a pioneer, which is what we're going to talk about again. And I do want to just check on Zoom here and see what we've got. Okay, there's a good crew there. Hello, everybody. You can see my little niece over there, her smiling face. last week, for those of you who either were here or heard on Zoom, excuse me, I talked about being a pioneer. And so I'm going to ask for some responses. And rather than move the microphone around, you know, I try to keep it to one or two words, and then I'll just repeat it. And then we don't have to, you know, Reggie doesn't have to run around. But when you think of a pioneer from my message last week, and also just what you know about a pioneer, what are some of the words that come to your mind about what is a pioneer? Excuse me.
Independent.
Independent.
Leader.
Fearless.
Fearless.
Grateful.
Grateful.
Someone that's forward thinking.
Forward thinking. Not just thinking about right here and now, but you're looking into the future.
Goes before.
Goes before. Forerunner.
Strong.
Say that again.
Strong.
Strong. Fearless.
How about follows truth?
Proactive.
Proactive. Follows the truth, even if it's not popular. Anything else?
Venturing into a new way of life.
Right, moving into a new way of life, even a new way of thinking. This kind of a pioneer spirit. So I asked a couple of questions last week that I'm going to kind of review too. And one of them is, the pioneers of the Bible knew that God had better rewards for them in eternity, and so do we. But do you believe that? Do you believe that all those words that were on that screen this morning? Because he lives, and blessed be your name, in the middle of the Revelation song. I'm thinking about those songs. If you're a pioneer, you're going to believe those, and you're going to not just believe, but you're going to follow them. Another question, are we willing to do whatever God calls us to do, however, whenever, or whatever it is? It's like, yeah, we have, but are we truly you're going to do that? I'd like to say yes. Can we agree to wade into uncertainty no matter what prevails? And are you willing to step out in faith and be a true pioneer for him? Well, I don't know. You know, it's kind of testing the water. It's a little cool. Maybe you just need to jump in. So today we're going to explore what type of people true pioneers. You know, we talked about what a pioneer is, but now we're going to talk about what type of people a pioneer is. And right up front, I will say that one of the biggest hindrances in our walk with him is something that we've touched upon many times, and that man in the corner over there spoke about it 2 weeks in a row, and that's fear. Fear. Fear will hinder us from being a pioneer in our minds and in our spirits and in our physical attributes or our physical movement. So what do true pioneers look like and what do they possess? Well, number one, they're personally committed, they're persistent, and they're consistent. Now, I want you to think about that, because as I'm As I'm talking about these kind of things, these are things that I'm dealing with. And the Holy Spirit will work with you and how you deal with them too. And one thing I want to mention, Linda and I don't, like, I don't tell her what my message is on. I don't let her read it and critique it. She critiques it after. So she doesn't know what I'm specifically going to talk about. So, you know, what she talked about this morning, in fact, you took some of my thunder, by the way. But what she talked about this morning about the founding fathers, they were the pioneers, the true pioneers. If it wasn't for them, regardless of what the world says right now, we wouldn't be here. So in the scriptures, it says, Proverbs 12:24, work hard, become a leader, be lazy, and never succeed. Colossians 3:23, work hard for the Lord and not just your earthly masters. So again, personally committed, persistent, consistent. Number two, driven by internal reasons and rewards. Internal, spirit-led reasons and rewards. And Colossians 3:24, which is right after the one I just read, said, and if you don't do your best for him, he will pay you in a way you won't like. For he has no special favorites who can get away with shirking. Everyone get that one? Three, have a way of getting others motivated. Pioneers have a way of getting other people motivated. Titus 2:6-7. In the same way, encourage the young man to live wisely. That's our responsibility. Encourage the young man to live wisely. And here you yourself must be an example to them of good deeds of every kind. Let everything you do reflect your love of the truth and the fact that you are dead earnest about it. Not just a, you know, ho-hum thing. You're dead earnest about it. And also have sensible and logical conversation. So it would be difficult to argue with you. In today's day and age, we need to have that. I'll say that one more time. Have sensible and logical conversation. I just listened to Glenn Beck the other day, and he was talking about, he was going to have a special on how to talk to family members at Thanksgiving without having conflict because of what's going on in our country. So, but if you have sensible and logical conversations, it's going to be hard to argue with you. You're going to go, maybe they got a point there. Bring people together, even if they were ignorant and full of unbelief. That's a calling in the scripture. Be wanting to share grace, love, and faith that can be poured out from him to others. Another one is have good, solid faith in him. Probably I should have put that one first, but have good, solid faith in the Lord and his word. Joshua 3:4-5 says, follow the acts of the covenant of the Lord our God, then you'll know which way to go. It doesn't say, go your own way and then ask God what he thinks. Ask him first and then he'll show you the way to go. Consecrate. Now, consecrate means to, like, declare something. You know, make it happen. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. If we declare and follow him with all our heart, he will do amazing things. And there are people in this room, all of us, who can attest to that. You will know which way to go and dedicate yourselves to his plans and not our own. Be brave. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, with a huge crowd watching us, let us get rid of that which hinders us and run with patience the particular race he set before us. Another one is go forward with signs and wonders of breakthroughs, of victories, of deliverances. Go forth and share those things so people can look and say, wow, God did that for you. Romans 15:21 says, those who have never heard the name of Jesus before will see and understand. And that was predicted in Isaiah 52, verse 16. A pioneer is one who has great and new ideas that come from him. Now, like a general pioneer, that fits everybody. In other words, you know, even if you're not of the Lord, you can have great and new ideas. But if you have the Lord, then they're even going to be better. You're going away from the status quo. Well, it's always been that way. We're going to keep it that. No, you can go away from the status quo. Maybe it's a good thing. In fact, Isaiah 43:19 says, see, I'm making a way for you in the wilderness. In the wilderness, he's making a way for you. and he's making streams in the wastelands. Do not be afraid of the unknown. That's Sophia that, you know, Reggie's been talking about. Hebrews 11:8. Abraham was called to love his country and family and go out into the unknown, even though he had no idea where it was going. We happened to watch this this movie last night, Paul, Apostle of Christ. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I'm going to leave it up here if someone wants to borrow it and then just bring it back whenever. But it's with Jim Caviezel. Mm-hmm. And it really was powerful. It basically dealt with Luke and Paul, because Luke did a lot of the writing for Paul. Especially when he was in prison. And that was a miracle in itself that Luke was able to get into the prison. Because not everyone could do that. But anyway, Paul had all these attributes. And it's evidenced by 30 years of ministry. And they estimated that he traveled 10,000 miles. Now, we're not talking about jumping on a 737 and flying across country. So 10,000 miles of ministry, basically establishing new churches in the ancient world. Most of his writings took place in prison. So he was a pioneer. Rather than, you know, get all upset about his surroundings, that's when the Lord really, you know, put the Spirit in him to write and to think about things. The love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, was written while he was in solitary confinement awaiting beheading. And while all this stuff was going on, he just started sharing love with Luke, and Luke wrote it down, and it's in here. So he didn't write that, you know, while he was in, Aruba, laying on the beach. Pioneering is and should be a way of life for true believers and true followers of Christ. Every day we must trust him to see us through the unknown events of the day. I don't know about you guys, but most of my life is ad-libbing. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't write down. Well, I've got some stuff written down here that the Lord gave me, but you don't write down what you're going to say next when you're in conversation with people, when you go to work, when you go to Walmart. You don't know how you're going to react. You just react, right? It's kind of like I said, ad-libbing. We can't depend, though, solely on our emotions, and that's what we do often. It's all about emotions. Emotions are like this, and if we rely on our emotions, then we're going to be in trouble. We also can't just rely on our perceptions and our reasoning. We have to have something from the Lord to help us with our emotions, with our reasoning, and also with our perceptions. I haven't figured everything out by myself. In fact, I don't figure out much by myself. I need help. So we need to be pioneers and allow him to guide us and lead us through every moment, every day of our lives. Martin Luther, he was a Seminole. I had to look that up. He was very influential, a very influential figure in the birthing of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. So he went before the German Parliament, which was called the Diet, to express his beliefs. Now, don't forget, he's not expressing his beliefs about, you know, if it's going to rain or snow this afternoon. He's expressing his beliefs about the Lord to the German Parliament. They weren't really interested in hearing it, because they wanted him to denounce his nonconformist beliefs and give up his faith in Christ. And this is what he said. Unless I'm convicted by the scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted themselves. I read that again. Unless I'm convicted by the scripture and plain reasoning, which comes from that, I do not accept authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted themselves. Now, maybe if they hadn't contradicted themselves, he might have had a different viewpoint, but I'll go on to quote, "My conscience is captive to the word of God, and to go against that is neither right nor safe." I really like that. My conscience is captive to the word of God. And then he said, amen. God help me. Amen. In Exodus, I'm not going to go there now, but like if you're taking notes, Exodus 19 and 4 through 6 and 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, it's kind of like that's where he got his conviction. And he put it into words from those two scriptures. Our founding fathers, as Melinda had mentioned, almost to a man, had the pioneer spirit. And most were convicted to sign away everything, including their assets and their lives, of which many lost. They lost both. For the cause of the country, the apostles and prophets in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they did the same thing. So now I want to talk about settlers, because we've talked about being a pioneer. Now let's talk a little bit about being a settler. And the Greek word for settler is apoikoi. It means come to rest. And at my age, I have a tendency to lean towards a settler's mentality. But God calls us, and until he takes us home, to move forward daily in our lives. That's part of the reason I think I stay active, you know, like cutting trees with my son and doing all that stuff on the farm, because I really like to go and just sit down in my easy chair and read a good book and take a nap, which I do, but not as long as I'd like to. So we have to remember that settlers, and then if you think of, you know, like I was talking last week about the westerns that I read, and the settlers were, you know, people who lived in town, people who had the farms, they stayed there, and they had people who went before them and brought back information for them so they could move into those areas. But settlers, at least early on, were pioneers. They listened to a pioneer say, come on, there's a good place over here, you can build your town, or you can set up a ranch, and they followed. So in a sense, they were pioneers initially too. They trusted the pioneers that went before them. Settlers want to find a place they like. Does that make sense? I like it, you know, like where I'm living right now, I like that. It's a nice little place. It's peaceful and all that. They want to feel comfortable in and at that particular place they're at. If they're going to make it a permanent resident, they probably want to like it there. Right? And that's not a bad thing. That is good to a point in terms of your initial acceptance of Christ. In other words, when you accept him as Lord and Savior, that's a good place to be. That's a comfortable place to be. It's a secure place to be, because you've got, you know, the loving God has his arms around you. But he doesn't want you to stay there. He loves you so much that he loves you where you're at, but he doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He wants you to move forward. From then on, we should try to rely on him and his word. His word needs to be a light unto our path. That's from Psalm 119. And it's not a headlamp that goes up there. It's a light unto our path as we're walking this path. And it's not a rear view light where we're constantly looking back and wondering, you know, how we're doing. We need to be focused here. I can remember when I was coaching cross country at the high school in Berlin. Whenever we did hill work, we never looked at the top of the hill. We always looked right here for two reasons. One, that can be discouraging. And two, we need to make sure you're stepping right, because you could be focusing on that and trip over a root and break your ankle when you're done. So always focus here. So, you know, the word of God is a light unto my path. That's how we get from here to there. And we can't, I mean, we can be thinking about there, but we have to go here first. We have to get through there first. But, you know, we can become so fixed and so satisfied and so established and so comfortable that we never venture any further in our relationship with him. God's got it. I can do what I want now. He's going to be there for me. Everything's good. No, he wants you to grow every day, and that's why we have this, and we have you, and the guys and girls on Zoom, so we can do that for each other. The normal procedure is to be a pioneer, a newcomer, And then a permanent settler or a squatter. Where we're staying there, but it's not really ours. We're just staying there and we're getting comfortable until maybe somebody moves us out of there. There needs to be a point where we need to know what's going on around us. We can't just be in our little bubble. You can't do Sunday morning and then walk out the door and do the rest of the week. What is there, 168 hours in the week or something like that? Seven times 24. So we got an hour and a half, 2 hours here, and then we're done. No, that's just a little part of it. The big responsibility of being a pioneer is out there with our families, with our co-workers, with the community that we live in. But you know, the world will tell us, and don't take this the wrong way, but the world will say, lockdown, stay home, stay isolated from friends and family, don't go to work, whatever you do, don't go to church. And you'll have a monthly or a weekly paycheck in your mailbox. So we lose our incentive. I mean, I find that if I don't get out of bed, I'd just soon stay there. And so we lose our incentive, our energy. We give up our dreams, our desires. And as the scripture says, you become content in your laziness. And I'm not talking just physically, I'm talking spiritually. I know part of the reason that my father lived until he was almost 100 wasn't, I mean, unless it was something really unusual going on, he got up every morning, got dressed, and had breakfast. Every morning. Until 2 days before he died. And he had 36,480 days to live. And most of those days, he was up every morning. So again, here are some challenging questions. And that's me. I like to challenge people. I like to challenge myself. Number one, think about this. Do the pursuits of our lives oppose rather than promote the kingdom of God? Do the pursuits of our lives oppose rather than promote the kingdom of God? Malcolm's spoken about that many times, about the kingdom of God. Number two, do we have all we want and need spiritually? You better say no. With no unpleasant feelings, everything is nice and smooth and flowing nicely. We're relaxed, we're content, we're secure in our walk. You're unaware of the spiritual warfare that's going on in the heavenly realms. And when you think of what's going on in the world right now, you know it's in the heavenly realms and it's just manifesting itself here on the earth. So do we have all we want? Do we have all we need? Well, we have Him. So yes, but there's more to it than that. Are we physically warm? Are we cozy, full of serenity, safe? Life is easy and quiet? I don't know about you, but I can't say yes, there's stuff going on. It's okay to be comfortable and restful in Him, as we all need a break. But as it says, you know, the Lord said we should be content. And, you know, Paul spoke about that all the time. It's like, I mean, he was beaten and he was, I mean, his back was all torn apart. And he did all kinds of things to him. He didn't eat. But he was content. It says it in the scriptures. He wrote, I was content despite my circumstances. So we should be content despite the tests, the temptations, and the difficulties that we face. Jeremiah 6:16 says, yet the Lord pleads with you still. Ask where the good road is, the godly paths you used to walk in the days of old. Travel there and you will find rest for your souls. But you have to ask where that good road is, the godly paths that we used to walk in. So Jeremiah was warning, you used to walk in those paths. What happened? What happened was that it was kind of a warning that the people had become settlers. They refused and rejected His law, and it brought evil upon them. If you do that to God, He loves you, but He'll bring some things on you to get you back where you need to be. Get back on the path he has for you. And if you go to Jeremiah 16, 11 through 13, which is just before what I just read, it's virtually the same warnings. He's giving you warnings. And Dutch Sheets was talking about, you know, sometimes we think we're competing against each other and we're competing against different churches and stuff. The competition that we're facing right now is with the kingdom of darkness.
That's right.
That's the competition.
That's the competition.
Not each other. Mm-hmm. And we have to go against that. Like yesterday, Diane was talking about the, you know, the service and you know, despite the differences in, you know, how people feel about what's going on, we were together as a family. And we worshiped and honored the Lord, and we sent our sister and our grandmother and Dee to be with the Lord, and everyone was challenged to kind of be a pioneer, I guess you could kind of say. If you don't know the Lord, find him and follow him. So what do we need to be a spiritual pioneer? Well, we need to heed his guidance, heed his warnings, and we'll find rest in the midst of it. Come out from hiding in the shadows. Make a choice in your walk and your attitude. Stand for what is true and right, even if people don't like it. And do it in a way that they'll say, "Ooh, maybe he's got something there." Have clarity in our minds. When in doubt, stand. It says that in Scripture. No matter what's going on, stand. And stop allowing the enemy to gain footholds without any debate. That's what bothers me. We're allowing the enemy to take hold of things, get footholds in things, and there's no debate. Okay, whatever you say. We have to. I'll use the word fight back, but I'm not suggesting an insurrection. I'm just talking about we need to fight for truth. Mark 3:27 says, who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Who is? And I love this part. Only someone who's even stronger. Someone who can tie him up and plunder his house. I feel like we need to do that.
Yes.
Psalm 18:39. You have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemy under my feet. Revelation 3:11. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have. Now, we don't know when that's happening. So that's another thing. People are saying, oh, I can't wait for the Lord to come back and settle all this. Right now, we're in a battle. We can't be just sitting back going, oh, he's going to come and take care of it all. He's using people to do that.
Right.
I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one can take away your crown. In that same scripture, 12 and 13, it says, love our freedom in Christ. Oh, I'm sorry. If you go to Psalm 18:12-13, it also talks about holding on to that crown. We have to love our freedom in Christ more than we do our fears. We have to love our freedom that we have in Christ more than we do our fears. What are you going to do with this man, Jesus? And Vicky, I see you out there. You shared a couple weeks back, let me tell you about my Jesus to others, the lost and the found. Have you done that? Are you doing that? Are you telling other people about my Jesus? Are you sharing your testimony? Because that's where people say, wow, if that can happen to me, I've got a testimony. We've all got a testimony of where we've been and where we are and where we're going. And so going back to what Melinda had talked about with our founding fathers, they had true pioneer spirits and pioneer hearts regarding their country. And with the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, but here's the last sentence in the Declaration of Independence. And this is a quote from all these men that signed that. As for the support of the Declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, that's God, we mutually pledge, and that's bind, promise, guarantee, to each other, which is what I'd like to see the church do. Pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Are we willing to climb on board with and in our commitment to him, spiritually and physically, and dedicate our lives, fortunes, and sacred honor to him? Are we willing to do that? Before we close with a song that I happened to hear a couple weeks ago that kind of fit into this whole thing, I'd like to know if anyone has any thoughts, I know it's a lot of information to take in, but any thoughts about being a pioneer or maybe a testimony or what God's doing or what he's done or how you feel about what's going on in this country, in your life, in the church?
Do you mind hear something real fast?
Yep.
That Kyle Rittenhouse jury that came back all not guilty, I honestly think they were pioneers because, I mean, here they are deliberating and you get crowds outside screaming for their death and the death of that child. And yet they stood up to everything and said, no, you know, he's innocent, you know, and I truly think that I found them to be pioneers, and then I also found God's hand on it, because I don't know how anybody else feels about what happened there. I mean, that kid was from my hometown. And it's like, and I pray to God every day to watch over him and let people see, because the media and even our government officials were weighing in on this case without even watching it. And I truly feel that the good Lord blessed them, the juries, to give them strength and to walk forward with a true verdict. And then the good Lord looked upon that kid. So I don't know. I found that to be pioneering on the juries, you know, on the jurors themselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with all the pressure from everyone coming in and, yeah, the threats and stuff, you have to stick by your guns and do what's right and do what's true, I guess. Thank you, Kelly. Anybody else?
It's become very evident that the enemy has a plan and quite an army of soldiers that, well, it goes back to when the population was about 5 billion people on this planet, and they started saying, you know, if this keeps up, we're all going to starve, we can't support ourselves, we're going to kill the climate and all this stuff. And so they put together a plan, and that is to cut back on the number of people on this planet. Now, to me, that's God's job. If we have too many people, that's God's job. These people who have good intentions actually think that the right thing to do for humanity is something you could call the great calling. And it's manifesting itself in this virus that we're fighting. That seems to be waning. You know, it shouldn't go on forever. But beyond that is Ebola and smallpox and things like that. The enemy is not letting up, and we need to stand up, like that young man did. And, you know, the media was all over this, saying things that were not true, to try to turn people against that young man. And we have to remember that 17-year-old colonists, 250 years ago, stood up to tyranny, stood up against the enemy's plan to take us down. We'd all be speaking German today, because once England was taken over by Nazi Germany, well, we might as well be German too. So it was a bunch of young colonists that stood up and did what they thought was right. And I'm glad that justice prevailed in this case. I thank the Lord for that.
Thank you. Yeah. And you know, we talked about this before, you can run for office and you can become a school board member and you can do that. Bottom line is start off getting on your face and praying for guidance, for direction. You know, the battle, you know, we might lose a battle, the war's been won, but we still have to go through the battles.
I think too, every one of you is a pioneer right now, because right now there's such a push against the church and God in this country, everywhere, the whole world really, that everybody that stands up for God is a pioneer right now. We're pushing against that type of current, right? So it was easy when we were all on the same page and everybody was supporting each other, right? And the numbers were on our side. Well, now as the numbers dwindle and they're not on our side, where do we rise up and still stand in Christ's name, you know?
And I think part of that too was comfort. You know, we were comfortable.
Yeah.
Everything was good. The money was coming in. Everything's good. And,
we were settling.
Yeah.
I think he's calling us out, mm-hmm. you know, to do something.
Yeah.
And I think we need to hear him. You know, we need to take the actions and not be comfortable or ignorant, you know. He's calling us out. Things are happening in our lives. We have trials. We have things that happen in our life. And they're, you know, they're overwhelming for some. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's a reason why, you know, like God only brings on stuff that we can handle, you know. And by this, he's trying to get our attention for us. You know, he's calling us out to do something to glorify his name. You know, every day we look, we got to think that what we're doing is a way that we're glorifying his name. And by doing that, we're recognizing the fact that we're starting our pioneer work. You know, we're starting our pioneer work where, you know, he's guiding us in a direction where where he wants us, you know, where we're needed. Someone needs us, you know. Somewhere you think that, you know, the steps that you're taking, are you hurting too much, and or it's, you know, positive things happen in your life, but someone's going to put a place in your life for a reason, and that's why he's calling you out.
Be a pioneer in your family. Sometimes being a pioneer in your family can be more difficult than being a pioneer out there. And as we've studied way back with our Francis Frangipane study, you can't make a difference in the world if you can't make a difference in your life. You start there and you work your way out. You can get involved in, you know, political stuff, but if your heart's not really there and it's not right with God, you're just doing a physical thing. So
to me, like a pioneer too has a statement that they start with every time, right? They have a statement. So what's your purpose, right? Like what's your purpose in God is where your statement should be. So every morning we should be waking up and saying, like, what's my purpose in God, right? Not necessarily in the chaos that's going on in us. Like, what's our purpose in God? What does God have for me as a pioneer to move forward?
You had a vision. You had a vision.
Yeah,
we got Keith and then somebody, had, and then Glenn over here after Rich.
I was just contemplating the pioneers in our generation who that might be. I mean, I used to watch a lot of Billy Graham on TV, and to me, he was a pioneer in the Christian world, because even the Samaritan's Purse, the shoeboxes you were putting together, is from Billy Graham, from organization. They're a tremendous organization that's preached gospel all over the world.
And you're making a difference. And how many boxes did we have there, Mandy and Diane?
Nearly 50, I think.
Eight, I think.
58 boxes.
That's going to make a difference in 58 or 60 kids' lives all over the world. Yeah.
I was thinking that my thought was that God has always been our pioneer through all the ages, that he's the one that believes in his children, and that he's taken a chance on us to help.
Wow.
And I don't know the song, but I don't know if you can play it or whatever, but it's something about God of the mountain is the God of our valleys, or something like that.
Yeah.
I really like that song.
Yeah. Thank you, Cheryl. That was profound. I never thought of it that way. I mean, obviously Jesus was, but yeah, Glenn had something too. But I'm just thinking the God of the universe. He took a chance on us.
Yes.
He's got to be a pioneer.
Yes.
You just mentioned one of the characteristics of a pioneer is leadership. And I believe that in order to become a good leader, you have to first become a follower.
Yes.
And that is, you know, what we're talking about, Paul. That's allowing the urgings of the Holy Spirit to direct the way you go through your day. Mm-hmm. It's believing that God is in control in spite of all the chaos that we witness.
Yeah.
And studying the scripture, because that's where we find the truth that we can depend on. So leadership really involves being a good follower.
Amen. Yeah. Anybody on Zoom? You guys have been quiet up there. Anyone else?
Priscilla. Oh, you got something?
I think that it's easy to watch things like the court case this week and whatever else and just see how the world is so far from reality and so far from truth and just want to rebel and go the other way. And sometimes people almost end up running for their own stories or whatever else, but I think being a pioneer and being a good Christian witness is going to become easier and easier by just speaking truth.
Yes.
Just seeing reality. Just, you know what I mean, not trying to get caught up in any other crazy conspiracy or do anything else, but just simply observing simple truth on a daily basis has to start reaching people.
Yeah.
There have to be people that are looking at this and saying, that just doesn't make sense. That's not reality. You know what I mean? It doesn't match up. And for a while, I think there was just this momentum that was pushing. But I honestly see at times where it's starting to break apart, and you're starting to see like people just looking at this like, you know, you can't keep going on with these stories that just don't even remotely match reality.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a good part of Christian witness, is people are going to see that, hey, you know, you're not being rude, you're not being this, you're not saying anything crazy, you're just speaking a very simple truth and sticking with it.
And doing it the right way so we
exactly.
Know.
Exactly. Not living by the lies of this world, but just speaking truth.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, I guess we're going to go to that last song. And Melinda will call us, but I'd like you to make this song, you know, just like all the songs we sing here, you know, make it, like believe it, and live it. It's called Modern Pioneer. And thank you for being such a great audience. And I love your input.